Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel. We're beginning on the second line from the top, Yud Gimel Abed Aleph. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Andrew Rothstein. All the Nishams we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. And we begin. We're in a very esoteric discussion regarding Ma'ase Bereishis, and we continue with the words of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. The Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov tells us, Od Rakia Echad. There's another heaven. We talked about the seven heavens that Reish Lakish had brought down yesterday. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says there's, in addition to those seven heavens, Od Rakia, there's one more heaven, Yesh L'mala Mirashi Achayos. That's above. We said the Chayos are dwelling in this seventh heaven, so there's one more Rakia even above that layer, and that is the Chsiv Udumus Arashi Achaya Rakia Ke'en HaKerach HaNora. So there is another heaven there, another Rakia that is above the Roshei HaChaya, and it's like a Kerach HaNora, like a very type of awesome type of ice. And the end of the pasuk tells us, it's not to Al Roshei Milamala. So that teaches us that it was above them. This additional Rakia is above the seventh heaven. Now the Gemara tells us, Adkan Yesuchol Rishus Daber. Until now, we had a right to say the things that we've been saying. We had a right to give the Shia yesterday. We had a right to learn the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis. However, Mikan Va'elach, to go any further in discussing what is above that, what is below that, what is before, what is afterwards, that Ein L'chol Rishus L'dabi. That we have nothing to say. We're not supposed to investigate that. Shekein Kosu B'Sefer Ben Sira, because it's written in the Sefer Ben Sira. Now, Sefer Ben Sira is a very interesting book. It was one of the books that was considered originally. Could it be one of the Chav Dalid books of Tanakh? But it was rejected. It was ultimately put into the Apocrypha group of Svarim. It was written by this person known as Ben Sira. There are those that suggest that he was Yirmiyahu HaNavi's son. A very interesting story that he was the product of a birth that came about not through a normal husband-wife relationship, but his father, Yirmiyahu, had a Zerah come out of him in a pool of some sort, and his mother became impregnated by that. And this is the story, so to say, of the origins of Ben Sira, according to one version. In any event, his works are quoted many times in the Gemara, albeit they are considered the Apocrypha, and they aren't considered necessarily to have any Kedusha to them. But some of the things that he said, the Gemara obviously felt were worthwhile quoting. As it says over here, it's written in the book of Ben Sira, Bamufla Mimcha. Rashi explains, "Bemuflo mimcha" means "bemuvdal umufrosh mimcha," things that are separated and apart from you. Shelo rotz Hakadosh Baruch Hu galus lach, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu specifically said, "This isn't for you. This is not going to be revealed to human beings." So those things, "bemuflo mimcha," al tidrosh, you don't have the right to go and darshan them, to go and be choker into them, to investigate and evaluate what they are. Likewise, those things that are covered up from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, this is not for you to look at. Al tachkor, don't investigate, don't be choker, don't look into them as well. But meshahu sheisi, his bonate, that which I gave you permission to go learn, go learn. Hey, there's enough to keep you busy. And l'chaisek by the stars, but don't get involved over here in things that are hidden away. Therefore, this was very good advice from Ben Sira, and that's what the Gemara is quoting over here. Tanya, we learn the following braisa. So, Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai tells us a fascinating, again, esoteric idea here. Matshuva heshivatu baskol yoso rosha. Now, this also rosha that we're going to be referring to, Rashi tells us, is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to rebel against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nebuchadnezzar was an extremely arrogant person. He reigned for 45 years in Babel. And he was a terrible, horrible person. We have stories elsewhere, but he ate creatures live, and he did horrible things to Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. The wickedness of Nebuchadnezzar, he's always known as that Russia, Lo'oso Russia. He's a horrible person. In any event, he wanted to rebel against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to sort of say, go up to the highest of the heavens and fight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what was the tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? Ma tshuva heshivatu basko, that a basko came out. A basko is a voice that comes from Shemayim. It is lower than a level of Nevuah, but it has substance to it. It is something, albeit the name Bas Kol implies it's an echo, which is a lower level, and that's one of the Mefarshim say, why don't we call it a Ben Kol? So Bas is weaker than a male. Female is weaker than male, and therefore the idea that it's a Bas Kol is to show that it's a weaker form over here of divine speech. So in any event, what was the tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to this Rosh Nebuchadnezzar via this Basko? So, B'shoah Shomer, Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to go up and fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a pasuk from Yeshaya. He says, Ele al-bama se'ov, I will go up to the top of the clouds, Adam el-Elyon, and I'm going to appear to the Most High, and I'm going to go and fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to take over his palace. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu laughed. Yotzah Basko, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the following response. Rasha, ben Bino, shall Nimrod a Rasha. You are a Rasha yourself. Your father was a Rasha, and you are a descendant. Ben Bino doesn't literally mean the grandson. It means, as Tosos points out over here, top Tosos, Lav Davka, Sharikush, you'll let us Nimrod. He wasn't even necessarily even a direct biological descendant of Nimrod because they came from different lineages. So he was from Cush. Nimrod was a son of Cush, but Lomosino also Russia, Mizera Cush. We don't find Nebuchadnezzar was even from the same son of Noach, that Cush came from Chum, and in fact, Nebuchadnezzar was a product of Ashur, who was from Shem. So therefore, it's not even Dafka Tosu says that they were biological descendants, and certainly not to say that he was a grandson, literally. And he says, Elo, Al Shem Maisov, Shemolach Gamhu Bishinor. And the source of Shas adds over here, "Vishalach es yado be Yisrael, k'moshe Nimrod shalach es yado be Abraham." And he's compared to Nimrod because both of them, as Tosus first says, lived in Shinar, and then in addition, that both of them rebelled. Nimrod rebelled against Abraham and against Kodesh Baruch Hu, and so too Nebuchadnezzar, Harosha, Nebuch destroyed the first base of Migdash and caused tremendous problems and physical distress to the Jewish people. Okay, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to invite this Basko, you Rasha, ben Benosho, Nimrod Rasha, and what was so bad about Nimrod Rasha, Shehimrit Kol Olam Kula Olav B'Malchuso, that he tried to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tried to get everybody to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Basko tells the Nebuchadnezzar Rasha as follows. He says, you think you're going to even be able to live long enough to get up to fight me? Kama shenoso shel adam. How long does a person live? The average person. As the pasuk here is now quoted, shiv mishana is the average. A person lives an average time of 70 years. A person who reaches gvuros, he reaches power. So then he lives 80 years. Again, people live even longer than that. And Tosus points out that Nebuchadnezzar himself actually lived longer. And you see this in the second Tosafot of Yeshiva Mishnah. He says, "La mishum shaloh yakoshis Yosef." Not that he didn't live longer than this himself, because he was described. Tosafot reminds us to Sancheiriv. Now Sancheiriv attacked the northern kingdom and exiled the northern kingdom many years before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and he was already described over there for the Sancheiriv's royal court. And he, in fact, is mentioned there that he sent the message from Sancheiriv to Chizkiah, and therefore he was zocheh to actually getting his malchus, because when Sancheiriv heard that Chizkiah was healed miraculously after he'd been sick, and nobody had ever been healed for that before, so he sent him a message, and he first sent it, he said, to the great king Chizkiah, who is the king of Israel, who is the king from the God of Israel. And Nebuchadnezzar there tells him, you said it the wrong order. You should have first put the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because he took 3 steps to go and stop the messenger from going with that message and had it corrected, so he was zocheh to be a melech and have three generations, himself, his son Abel Merodach, and his grandson Belshazzar. Incidentally, Belshazzar was the father of Vashti. So this is all connected to the Purim story as well. In any event, the lifetime itself of Nebuchadnezzar, Lav Dafka, was only 70 or 80 years. But anyway, that's the average lifespan of a person. Now, we're going to have a very esoteric Gemara over here, very deep and difficult for us to understand in a literal sense in any way, but there are tremendously deep ideas over here about how far away HaKadosh Baruch Hu is from us, in terms of we can't begin to comprehend what is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Halomino Aretz Alarakia, to get to the lowest level of Shamayim from earth, Mahalach Chamesh Me'ol Shana, it would take a person 500 years traveling to go and reach that. So, you're not going to live 500 years. But that's not enough. But Ovyam Shel Rakia, to get through the layer of Shamayim known as the bottom layer, known as the Rakia, Mahalach Chamesh Me'ol Shana, that's another 500 years. V'chein Bein, call Rakia al Rakia. And this is true of every Rakia. the distance between each one of the seven layers of heaven is 500 years of travel. Each actual passage through each layer of the Rukiah is another 500 years of travel. And then, Lamala Behen, Chayos HaKodesh. And then the top level, we had the Chayos HaKodesh and Raglei HaChayos Kinegi Kulam. And just to get through the distance of the feet of these Chayos HaKodesh would take you the amount of time that it took to get here. In other words, it would be all those layers of Shemayim, the 500 years to go through each layer of Shemayim, to get up to each layer of Shemayim, to go through each layer of Shemayim, and the amount of time it would take you to just travel through the lower part of the Chayos' leg would be equal to all of those years that it took to get here. Raglei HaChayos Kineged Kulam. And then Karsuli HaChayos, the ankles of the Chayos Kineged Kulam, would be another equivalent amount like that. And then Shok HaChayos, to get through the Shok. The Shok is the lower part of the leg. The animal leg has a different structure than the human leg. The human leg has basically the knee joint and it has the hip joint. So with the animals, you have basically a much more functional ankle joint, which is much higher up, and then you have the equivalent of a knee joint, and then you have the equivalent of a hip joint. So these are different parts of the leg. So each different part of the leg of the Chayos is going to take you that same amount of time, all those hundreds and thousands of years of travel. So the Shok HaChayos Kinei Kulam, that amount of travel, just the Shok of them, would take you that long. Ruchuvei HaChayos Kinei Kulam, Ruchuvei is the middle part, so that would be, again, equivalent, that distance to travel, those tens of thousands of years. Yarchei HaChayos, then the Yerech, the upper thigh of the animal. Kinei Kulam, the same amount that would take to go travel that as well. Gufei HaChayos, the body of the Chayos. Kinei Kulam, the same tens and tens of thousands of years. Tzavrei HaChayos Kinei Kulam, then to go through the neck area of these Chayos, it takes you, again, the equivalent of all of those years. Again, this cannot be understood literally. We don't have any conception what this means, but boy, oh boy, is this an interesting Gemara. Rashi HaChayos Kinei Kulam, then the heads of the Chayos, it will take you that long to get through that area, and well, connected all the years that we just spent talking about. And then Karnei HaChayos, the horns of these Chayos, connected Kulam, they have horns, and it will take you that long to get through the area of their horns. And finally, when you get above them, you get to the Kisei HaKavod, the Malam Yen Kisei HaKavod. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei HaKavod is. Ragle Kisei HaKavod, connected Kulam. And then the legs of the Kisei HaKavod are connected all these years that we had to travel. Kisei HaKavod, connected Kulam. And then the Kisei HaKavod is connected Kulam itself. Also, the chair has connected all of those years. And Melech, Kel, Chai, V'Kayim, Rom, V'Nisa, Shochen, Alem. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his great glory, again, there's no such thing as a body, a guf, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sit on a chair. He doesn't put his feet on the footstool of the chair, which is this world. These are all anthropomorphisms to help us understand the Gedula and the Teferis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are terms that, wow, look, this is pretty impressive that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But again, these are just terms for our limited understanding. So these are ways that we can imagine the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Melech, Kel, Chai, V'Kayim, Rom, V'Nisa, the holiest of holy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest, powerful God, Shochen Aleihem, the only God, is Shochen Aleihem. And you think you're going to come up here? It's impossible. You could live tens of thousands of lifetimes and you wouldn't have enough time to get up here, never mind to go and overtake HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ach el Sheol, Turad el Yarkisei Boros. At the end of the Pasuk in Yeshaya, tells us that you're going to go down to Gehenim, and that's where you're going to dwell. You're not going up, you're going to go all the way down. This is one of the most difficult passages in all of the Gemara to try to understand. And the Mefarshim basically give you the essence of this is that to teach us the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how far away He is from us, our lives. We think we're very impressive, we think we're very smart, our technology, but imagine this idea of how far above us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of how far above us HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Okay, the Gemara then says, "Alo b'merkava biyochid." We learned in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to go teach the Maisa Merkava to even one person unless that one person has a certain capacity about them. He had bina; he was able to understand certain things from what you're telling him. The Gemara says, "Tani Ruchia." Ruchia qualifies that even further, and he says, "Avo mosrin lo roshei prakim." But you are allowed to go and teach him the headlines. You're allowed to tell him the roshei prakim means the introductory paragraph concept. So this paragraph is going to talk about this. This paragraph is going to talk about that. So that you're allowed to tell him, but you can't tell him the details of what exactly it is. As Rashi says, you can tell him the Rashi Parashah Shabbat. You can tell him this Parashah deals with this aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This Parashah deals with this aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine. That's Rav Chiya's allowance, leniency, if you wish. Says, the only person that you can really transmit this to, a Rebbe can only transmit this to somebody who's the head of the Beis Din, the Av Beis Din. Or alternatively, Rezeri says, Ulchomi Shalibo Doe Bekirbo, or to a person who has tremendous fear of God. Libo Doe Bekirbo is referring to a person who is constantly, I would say, has Yira Shemayim. As Rashi points out over here, the Eino Meikel is Rosho. He doesn't become lightheaded. He doesn't become silly. He's a person who's a serious person. He's a Yira Shemayim. So you can give it to such a person. So Rezeri seems to say, you give it to two people, either to the Av Basin or to somebody who's Libo Doe Bekirbo. On the other hand, there is a version, Ikud the Amrei, that says that Rav Zeir said you need both of them. Even the Av Basin, you can only give it to an Av Basin who's a serious person. Not that there's two people over here, it's the Av Basin who is also Libo Doi Bekirbo. Two versions of what Rav Zeir said. Then we have Omer Rav Ami. Rav Ami says, a Moshim Sisrei Torah, a person is not allowed to teach to his Talmidim the Sisrei Torah. Rashi tells us that the Sisrei Torah are Maisa Makova, Sefi Yetzira, Maisa Breishis, things like that, and that this is the Brisa, known as the Sisrei Torah, that deals with these very esoteric ideas. So a Rebbe's not allowed to give it over to such a Talmud. Ella l'mishi yesh bo chamisha dvarim, if the Talmud has these five characteristics. Now, it's interesting, we're going to mention them all now, but we're actually going to discuss them on Daf Yudalit in tomorrow's Shia. So I'll just translate the words, but we'll wait to delve into them in tomorrow's Shia. So it says over here, number one, Isar Chamishim, he has to be the head of 50 people. He has to be number two, Unisu Fonim, he has to be a person who is elevated above others. He had no In other words, he has to be a respected person. Number three, he has to be Yoetz. He has to be a person who's capable of giving advice. Number four, the Chacham Choroshim. He has to be a teacher of people that are smart. And finally, number five, Unavon Lochash. He has to be able to understand. He has been a Navon for Lochash, for various things that are silent. Well, again, we'll discuss all of these five things tomorrow, Shia. But I don't know why the Gemara doesn't mention it now, but instead we have another statement from Rav Ami, and we'll get back to this first statement of Rav Ami in tomorrow's Shia. The Amar Rav Ami said another thing, you're not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jewish person. The pasuk tells us, you're not allowed to do this to a guy, and you can't go and tell him, our mishpatim. And you contrast it with the pasuk right before this, is Ma'akid Vorov Yaakov, who called the mishpatov Yisrael, that you're allowed to tell it to Yidden, you're supposed to, you're mechuyev to teach Torah to Yidden, however, you're not allowed to go teach it to the non-Jewish people. Except, of course, for the Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. I once had this chus, asked this to Rav Shach, to Shlita, would I be able to do this? I once was asked to give a talk to a number of non-Jewish clergy. So I asked my Rebbe, what can I teach him? And he said, teach him the Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. That's certainly acceptable to go and teach them. And which is what I did. I went through the Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noach to a room full of priests. We go back to the Gemara, Amalei Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar, Rav Yochanan said, Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar was a star pupil of Rav Yochanan. It says elsewhere that Rav Elazar never said anything that he didn't hear over from Yochanan. So, in any event, Rav Yochanan now tells him, To'ag meruch b'maisa merkava, come to me and I will teach you the maisa merkava. So, what does Rav Elazar say? Rav Elazar says, Amalei, lo kashay, I'm not old enough, I'm not mature enough, I'm not ready yet to learn the maisa merkava. As Rashi says, lo zokanti, oboinon libo doig, I'm not old enough, and likewise, you need to be a very serious person, libo doig bekirbo, and I don't think I've reached that level of maturity. However, he then got older, kikash, he wanted to go learn it now, he felt now he was capable of learning this, noch nafshei the Rav Yochanan, and Nebuch, his Rebbe, passed away, he never had the opportunity to learn the Maisa Merkava from Rav Yochanan. No, the other Talmidim that was senior to Rav Elazar said to him, Amalei Rav Asi, Rav Asi, Rav Ami, they were the primary original Talmidim of Rav Yochanan. So Rav Asi said to Rav Elazar, I'll teach it to you. Ta, Yak Maroch, Maisa Merkava. I know you want to learn the Maisa Merkava, but our Rebbe, Rav Yochanan, has passed away, but I'll teach it to you. So Amalei Rav Elazar said, Izakai, Gemirta, Rav Yochanan Rabach. If I had been worthy of it, I would have learned it from the Rebbe himself and not have to learn it from you, and therefore I won't learn it from you. Obviously, HaKosh Baruch Hu, in Rav Elazar's mind, he said, HaKosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to learn this because I had the opportunity to learn it from Yochanan and I didn't, so therefore I'm not going to learn it. Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef was very knowledgeable. He had learned the Maisa Merkava. And the Sabe de Pumpedisa, which the Gemara elsewhere tells us in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Yad Zayin tells us this is Rav Yehuda and Rav Eina. So they had learned the Sabe de Pumpedisa, Habutanu b'Maisa Merkavah. They learned Maisa Merkavah and understood it. And Rav Yosef learned the Maisa Merkava and understood it. So each one went to the other one and said, do teach me what you know. So Amalei, the Sabe de Pumpedisa, they went to Rav Yosef and said to him, Ligmar lon mar Maisa Merkavah, please teach us the Maisa Merkavah. Amalei, he said to them, can you please teach me Maisa Merkavah? Agmar li Maisa Merkavah. Now, They said, okay. Basar the Akmaron, after they taught him Maisa Bereshis, Amulei. Now the Sabi the Pumbadisa said to him, now you teach us, Ligburun Mar, Maisa Berkava. Now teach us the Maisa Berkava. Now, it sounds from the Gemara here that this was the quid pro quo. You teach us this and we'll teach you that, but it doesn't say that. That's maybe the simple reading of this, but it doesn't say that, in fact, Rav Yosef ever agreed to teach them the Maisa Berkava, as he now tells him, I can't teach you the Maisa Berkava. First of all, there would be a problem. Obviously, this could easily be resolved. How could he teach two? We just said the Maisa Berkava can only be taught to one. So, Mistama, the Sabe, the Pumbadisa, Rav Yehuda, and Ravena said, okay, you'll teach it to each of us separately. First, you'll teach it to, let's say, Rav Yehuda, and then you'll teach it to Ravena. So, that's not a problem. But, nevertheless, Rav Yosef tells them the following. He tells them, Tanida Vahu, we learned in a braisa the following, Devash V'cholov Tachas Lushonech, the famous pasuk of Shir HaShirin that says that the Devash, the honey, and the Cholov, the milk, albeit there's a very interesting Rav Ephraim Margolios who says that this refers to white wine, but that's certainly not the standard way. He says that Eretz Yisrael is a land of Cholov U'Dvash. He says Eretz Yisrael is not known for its milk. There weren't a lot of cows in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he says the Cholov is actually white wine. In any event, the Vash, the Cholov, the honey, and the milk should be underneath your tongue. What does that mean, underneath your tongue? Dvarim ha-mesukin, mitvash v'cholov, things that are even sweeter than dvash and cholov, yuhu tachas l'shoncha, should be hidden only in your mouth, so to say, but they shouldn't be spread out and taught to other people. Therefore, I'm unable to teach you the Maaser Merkava. The Gemara does not explain why he didn't want to teach him the Maaser Merkava. Obviously, he's telling them these things are hidden away, they shouldn't be taught to everybody, but Mistama, he didn't think that Rav Yehuda and Rav Eina were, at that point in their lives, either old enough or doeg belibo bekirbo enough that they should be taught the Maaser Merkava. Rav Yavo had a different drush of why he shouldn't be telling over the Maaser Merkava. He says, the pasuk tells us, kvasim, and we'll play on the word kvasim, which means sheep, lil vushecha, should be how you make your clothing. In other words, you take the wool from the sheep, you shear it, and you make yourself clothing. So we play on the words kvasim with the sin, and make it kvashim with the shin, which means things that are hidden away, things that are pressed away. Tvarmashin kivshono shal olam, things that are hidden away. Rashi gives us several examples of where we use this. The famous example when Yeshaya goes to Chizkio HaMelech, who got sick, and he had to go be Mavaka Cholim to him, and he tells him that you're going to die. And he says, because you didn't get married. And Chizkio responds, I have seen that I'm going to have terrible progeny, which in fact he did. He had twin sons, Rav Shoke and Manasseh. He ended up killing Rav Shoke when he heard Rav Shaki say a terrible thing when he was having both children on his shoulders. Rav Shaki said, when is this bald person, meaning Chizkio, his father, going to die so we can take over? And in astonishment, he dropped Rav Shaki and Rav Shaki died. And Menashe went on to be the longest reigning Melech of Malchus Yehuda for 55 years. And Nebuchi was off the derech. And he was a king that caused a tremendous amount of Avodah Zarah to be incorporated into the habits of Klai Yisrael. So he certainly was right. But Yeshaya tells him, what are you doing over here involving yourself, the kivshei, the rachman, alomaloch. What are you getting involved over here in the secrets, the kivshei, the rachman? So that's, you see, the word kivshei over here means the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, dor v'sheim, kivshanu shalolam, you tachas levushach. They should be kept hidden. They should be underneath your clothing, so to say. In other words, not publicized. Amulei, the Sabi Pumpadisa, go and tell Rav Yosef, Tanina and Behu, at least teach us a little bit of it. Teach us until the part that he says, Vayomer Elai ben Adam. Now, this is actually the second parak of Yecheskel. That's the beginning of the second parak. The Maaser Merkava is the entire first parak of Yecheskel, the first parak in that Sefer. And they told him, so at least teach us until that point. So Amru Lehu, so Yosef said to them, if you know up to the second parak, if I should teach you the entire first parak up to the beginning of the second parak, hey, name, Maaser Merkava. That's the Maaser Merkava. If that's what you want me to teach you, I'm essentially teaching you the entire Maaser Merkava, so I can't do that. As Rashi points out, Imad Kan Shanisim, if you already know until there, Harbe Shanisim, then you've learned essentially all of it. And then Rashi adds at the end of this Dibra Maschel, and he says, Haim Shekpidu Aleim Chachamim L'Darshim. Why were the rabbis so insistent? Why is the Gemara telling us, don't darshan this? Shehein Midvorim Bitsura Shechino Marei, because it deals with seemingly giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu physical characteristics, and this is one of the Ikarim of the Rambam, one of the 13 principles that many people say every single day, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a guf, ain't no guf. He doesn't have any physical characteristics that we can associate with him. This is not only a body, but he doesn't have emotions. He doesn't have other things that we associate with human beings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any of that. And it's usher to say that they do. And people, when they learn this, they're going to mistakenly think, oh yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an image. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has physical characteristics. And that tremendous takola was what the rabbis didn't want to chas v'shalom occur. So seemingly, Rav Yossi says that the entire first parak, that's the Ma'aseh Merkava. Basically, more questions is it says, Ad Hechad Ma'aseh Merkava, until when is the Ma'aseh Merkava? So we have different opinions. Rabbi Omer, Ad Va'era Basra. The word Va'era is written a couple of times over there, and it tells us until the last time it uses the word Va'era, which the last time it's found is in the second to last pasuk in that parak. That's the opinion of Rabbi. Rav Yitzchak Omer, until you reach Ad HaChashmal. Now, the Chashmal is a concept that we're going to discuss in a few moments, so we'll save it to now. Suffice to say, it is not electricity, which is what people think of the word Chashmal in modern Hebrew. It has nothing to do with electricity, although I think that the term electricity in Hebrew, which was a made-up term, there is no term for electricity in the Hebrew language. It didn't exist until it was discovered and utilized. So then the word Chashmal was chosen, I am assuming, if they chose it, the people that originally decided what these Hebrew words would be, they knew Nach, and they said, therefore, we're going to call electricity Chashmal. In any event, Rav Yitzchak says that it's the Pasuk up until the words HaChashmal, until there you're allowed to learn, but beyond that, you're not allowed to learn. But the bottom line is, both Rabbi and Rav Yitzchak don't say that the entire first parak is included in the Ma'aseh Merkava. So that seems to be a steer to what Rav Yosef said. So Gemara says, Ad v'ere megamrina. No, up until there, you're allowed to go and teach them. Mikam v'elech masrinon rashi prokim. So from that point on, that's the real heavy-duty stuff that you're not allowed to go transmit to them, except just the rashi prokim, just the headlines. Alternatively, ikud diamre ad v'ere masrinon rashi prokim. No, the entire beginning of that parak, until almost the end, you're only allowed to give them the Rashi Prokim. And from Chashmal and onwards, Mikan Ve'elach, Im Huchacham, even Midaito, in. Then only certain Tamidim that they have the Chochmah to understand things on their own, so then you can tell them certain things. Lo. And if not, then you're not allowed to tell them anything. More questions. Well, Midashinim Chashmal, really? Are you at all allowed to darshin in the Chashmal? V'ahaw Yenuka, the darsh b'chashmal, v'nafkanur v'achalte. There once was a young Talmud who learned, in fact, from the about the Chashmal, and a fire came out and burned him up. So Gemara says, Shani Yenuka. That's because he was a young person. To Lomoti Zimni. It wasn't the right time for him to learn it yet. He wasn't mature enough. However, a person who is older and is more mature would be allowed to learn it. Again, Yechidim, individuals, selected individuals could be. I review the review that tells us, Biram, Zohar, Oso Ish Letov, the Chananya ben Chizkiah Shemo, the great Chananya ben Chizkiah is to be remembered very, very positively. Zohar Latov, what did he do? Chananya ben Chizkiah, if it weren't for him, Ilmalehu, Nigna Sefer Yecheskel. If it wasn't for the great Chananya ben Chizkiah, the Sefer Yecheskel would have been banned, it would have been hidden away in a Geniza, and wouldn't have been allowed to be learned. Because, Shayudvar of Soshim, the Torah, there are many things in Yecheskel, Tum of Atar of Kohanim, who the Kohanim can marry, the things about the Beis HaMikdash, that seem to be Soser, the Torah. And therefore, until they could reconcile that, they said, we better put it away. So what did he do? What did Chananya ben Chizkiah do? Me'a saw, Helulo Shlosh Me'os Gabi Shemen. He took 300 barrels of oil. Now that's a guzma. We often find the lashon of 300 to be a lashon of guzma. In other words, he took up a lot of provisions and a lot of oil, a lot of light, so they could not leave the attic that he went up to. Yoshev Eliyah, he went up to his attic with Darsho, and with the other chacham that came up with him, they sat and figured out all the contradictions, seemingly, between Yecheskel and the Chumash, and they were able to reconcile everything, and therefore, the book of Sefer Yecheskel did not have to be Nignaz. In addition, Chananya ben Chizkiah is famous for also being the author of the first book that was written down, the Sefer Megillas Tainis, which listed all the minor holidays, all the wonderful victories that the Jewish people had. They all turned them into minor holidays. You weren't allowed to have Hesped and Tainis. We learned about this previously. So he was the author of the first book that was written down, the Megillas Tainis. And other things that they did up there in that Aliyah is a famous place where they had Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They gathered there, and there was more Beis Shammai than with Beis Hillel. And as a result, when they were Nimnu v'Gomru, they got together and they voted on certain things. So they passed in this situation like Beis Shammai. For 18 things, they passed like Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel. In any event, this Aliyah of Chananya ben Chizkiah was a very famous place. And in any event, that's what he did. He saved them from being Nignas Sefer Yecheskel. So Zohar Latov. Tanya Rabban, we learn another brayse. Ma'ase b'tino ke'echad shayakore bebeis rabo b'sefer Yecheskel. There once was a child. He was learning in his Rebbe's Beis Medrash, and he was learning Sefer Yecheskel. And this kid was very smart, and he was learning the perek of Yechezkel dealing with the chashmal, the yotzeis me chashmal srofaso, and a fire came out from this chashmal and it burnt him. Ubikshu ligno sevi Yechezkel. That was another reason why they wanted to be gonei sevi Yechezkel. They said we can't go and learn this. And omalehen chanan mechizkia imzeh chacham akol chacham meim. You're telling me this child over here was able to figure something out. So therefore, he was too young to learn it, and he was able to figure it out. So therefore, should we gonei sevi Yechezkel? What, every single child is a super genius like this kid? If this child happened to be a chacham, is every single child a chacham? Is every single person a chacham that we should be gonei sevi Yechezkel because of this one incident? So therefore, they were not gonei sevi Yechezkel. Now the Gemara says, what exactly is this chashmal? It's interesting. The Gemara says, we're not allowed to learn it. Then the Gemara says, what is it? So again, we're not even given Rashi Prakam over here. We're just given something that we can begin to understand. It's a pasuk in Navi. We have to understand some level of it, even though we're not allowed to darshan into it and go into it in depth. So my chashmal, what exactly is this chashmal? So Amar Yehuda. Yehuda tells us, and we turn to Yud Gimel Amud Beis, we're going to have two words. The chashmal is like a jumble of them. So it's a nutricon. So he says the word chashmal, Rav Yehuda, is chayos Eish Mimalos. As Rashi explains over here, Eish Yotze Midibura. This is a fire speaking creature. So these are Chayos, certain angels of Shemayim, that have fire coming out of their mouth as they speak. That's Chashmal. Chash is the Chayos Eish, and Mal is the Mimalos. Alternatively, B'masnisa, talking about in the Braisa, that the word Chashmal is a play on the words Itim Choshos and Itim Mimalos. Sometimes it's silent, Choshos, and sometimes Mimalos, it speaks. What does this mean? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking, so then the angels are silent. Choshos. That's Chash from Chashmal. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not speaking, then Mamalos. So then they speak and they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the pasuk continues and it tells us v'chayos rotzo v'shov kimaria bozok, and it tells us that the chayos go back and forth. They go running from this side to that side. B'mari ha-bozok, like the appearance of bozok. Now, we don't understand what these words mean. So the Gemara says, "My ruatz over shav." What does it mean? They're going back and forth. So Rav Yehuda, ku'ur ayotzei mipi kivshon. This is like a fire that comes out of the kivshon. Rashi says when they would go and smelt the gold, so they would put it in some sort of a container that had holes in it, and the fire would come out through the holes in this container, and that's what like the shooting fires back and forth. So that's what this appearance of the chayos was. Ruatz over shav kemari habazuk. What does it mean exactly? Kemari habazuk. My kemari habazuk. So I'm Rav Yosi Rechanina. This is like the flames that come out over here, as I just said, in between the when they're smelting the gold, that the flames will come out through these holes in the cheres that they had over the gold. Okay. Then the word says, "Well, hey, Rabbi Nei Ruach Sora Bominat Zafon." So in the this perek of the Ma'aseh Merkavah, it says that Yechezkel ben Buzi saw. And he's amazed at what he sees, and he goes into great detail about what he saw. And he says, "Aaron, I saw v'nei ruach sa'ara, a storm comes bomb and itself, coming from the north, coming from Bavel. Onon gadol v'esh mislakachas, I see a great cloud, and onon gadol, and I see a great fire, v'esh mislakachas. I see over here a fire coming out of this cloud, v'noga lo saviv, and there is a noga, a shine, a brilliance that's coming out of it as well. And inside of it, I see over here the chashmal, this idea of chashmal coming out from the fire. Now, lehechon ozal, that's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Rashi has a different girsa. Rashi says, my bohasam, lama hochel babel. Why was this entire Merkava going to Bavel? Alternatively, others have the girsa like we do. Lehechon also, to where is it going? This Ma'aseh Merkavah is coming, and where is it going to? Some of you, the Marav, says, Sholach lichvoshes kol olam kulo, tachas nebuchadnezzar rasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Ma'aseh Merkavah, he sent the Merkavah to go and conquer the whole world and give it over to Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. Why? To call Kachloma? That sounds like he's doing him a tremendous favor. How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu conquered the whole world for Nebuchadnezzar? He reigned over the whole world. And the reason for this is covered for Klai Yisrael. Shlo yomru umos ha'olam, b'yad umos shveila, mosar HaKadosh Baruch Hu as bonav. So the rest of the world shouldn't say, well, this little nothing king, Nebuchadnezzar, was able to defeat the Jewish people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevated Nebuchadnezzar, he made him the king of the whole world. In Molach Bekipa, he was the ruler over the entire world that was known to them. So therefore, people say, wow, that's a mighty king. We can see him conquering Klai Yisrael. Okay. Gemara continues. Amar Kosh Baruch. Kosh Baruch said, "Me garam li sheyes shamash lo libesilim nebuch. Who is making me that I have to go and conquer the world for this Rosh of Nebuchadnezzar? Abanoseim shal Yisrael in garam li nebuch. The sins of Klai Yisrael caused me to have to do this to punish Klai Yisrael, and their sins caused me to do this, and I had to elevate Nebuchadnezzar. I had to go conquer the world on behalf of Nebuchadnezzar for him because of the sins of Klai Yisrael." Then the pasuk says, "Va'era chayos." Yecheskel says, "I saw the chayos," and he says their appearance was "Hinei ofan echad ba'aretz etzel chayos." He says there was one ofan that was next to the chayos. What does this mean? This ofan echad next to the chayos. Amar Elazar, malach echad. This ofan echad is a malach echad. Shumay ba'aretz is standing on the ground. Verosho, he's so tall. Magia etzel chayos. He's standing on the ground. Nevertheless, his head is up there with the other chayos all the way up in Shemayim. Again, things we can't understand. We learn the following braisa. Sandalfon Shemo. The name of this Ofan, his name was, this malach was Sandalfon. Hagavoa mechavero mahalach chamesh mioshana. That's the girsa that we have. The girsa in the Bach is, in Oz Beis, v'govoa mechavero mahalach. He was taller than all of his fellow malachim by this much, 500 years. And Ba'omed Achori HaMerkava, and he would follow and walk behind the Merkava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kosher Kisarim Lekono, and he would go and not over here crowns for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, where says, really, Ini, is this possible? For Oksiv, the Pasuk tells us, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimikomo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory is praised in his place. In other words, we don't know where that place is, B'chal D'Mimikomo, Lech the other way. We have no idea what exactly this place is. So Gemara says, the Omar Shem Ataga, that Sandalfon said the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as a result, the crown went to these crowns that he was making for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also Yoshev Reishit. The crown would go automatically to wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was and go on his head. What exactly are these crowns that we're talking about? Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a head. It's also to think he has a head. As you can see here in the Rabbeinu Chananel, it says, Chalila, Yesh Shem Padachas Kol Ika, V'Rosh V'Guf, Kederach Habru. Don't think for a second that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has any physical characteristics. This is only an anthropomorphism for us to have a hasaga of how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So we utilize and think of a crown for a king. So that's an imagery that we have of somebody being great. He's wearing the crown. He's wearing the royal jewels. So that's just to give us an inkling as to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So what exactly are these crowns that we're talking about? So Tosus tells us over here, V'koshik som l'kono, mitfilosim shel tzadikim uose ataros, from the great words of the tzadikim that daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they so to say fashion these words into a crown for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Gemara continues and tells us, Amar Rava, Rava relates, and he says, Kol shiro Yechezkel ro Yeshaya, everything that Yechezkel saw and goes into great detail in the Ma'aseh Merkava in Perek Aleph of Yechezkel is also found in Yeshaya, ro Yeshaya. He saw the same thing, but he gives it a pasuk or two. So, how come there's such a difference in the description? So we say there's a difference between Yechezkel and Yeshaya. Lema Yechezkel dome, leben kfar shiros ha-melech. Yechezkel, as great as he was, is not Yeshaya Novi. And Yechezkel was like the ben kfar. He's like the simple villager coming to see the king, and he comes to the palace and says, wow, he's never seen such structures before, he's never seen such glory, such grandeur, and therefore he goes into every detail. Tosus explains, because people wouldn't believe him. So Tosus says the reason why you have to go into such detail is because nobody expects the Shekhinah, the Ma'aseh Merkava, to be where Yechezkel was. It wasn't in, so to say, the normal place, and therefore nobody's going to believe him that he saw it. So you have to go into great detail, say, no, this is what I saw, I'll show you. This is what I saw. This is what I saw. This is what I saw. As opposed to Yeshaya saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Merkava in the palace, and therefore, yeah, if you've been to the king's palace, you know exactly what it looks like, and you don't have to be such detail about it. Alternatively, Yeshaya over here is compared to Lema Yeshaya Domet Leben Krach Shiros HaMelech. He's the regular city slicker who is always used to seeing the king, always used to seeing the palace, so therefore he doesn't go into such great detail. Somebody who lives in Washington, D.C., sees the White House every day, doesn't go and describe it. The tourist that comes says, wow, I saw the building, it was this and that. So therefore, it's a much bigger deal for Yechezkel to describe it than it is for Yeshaya to describe it. Continue says on Rish Lakish. My decision was the meaning of the pasuk. Ashiru Hashem ki go ga'ah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is ga'ah on the people that are ga'ah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is more higher than all the people that think that they're high. So what does this mean? Shira lemi shem is ga alageim, that we sing a song. Ashiru Hashem ki go ga'ah. We sing a song to the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who is higher than even the people who think that they're high. The Yom Amar, that as we learned, Melech shebechayos ari, the king of the jungle, the king of the animal kingdom is the lion. Melech shebehemos, the king of the domesticated animals, that's the shor, that's the ox. Melech shebeofos, the king of the birds, that's the nesher, that's the eagle. And all of these kings, man is above them. But Adam is Goalem. Man lords himself over all of these animals. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu lords himself over man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Goal Kulan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all above all these other, quote, kings. Because of Echad Omer, then we have a stira in Psukim in Yecheskel. One pasuk tells us that the Maisim Merkava, the four creatures that were the four wheels of the Merkava, Dumus Pnei and Pnei Adam, that their faces had the appearance of a human being, Upnei Ayeh El Yomin Liyarba Atam, Upnei Shar Mehasmo Liyarba Atam Vigomer. And whatever this exactly means, there was a face that was like a lion to the right, and there was a face that was like a shar to the left. And further, another pasuk says, the arba panim liyachad, each one had four panim. And what were these panim? Pnei yachad, pnei akruv, one of them was a kruv. It doesn't say a shar, we'll see, it just says a kruv. Pnei asheni, pnei adam, one was the face of a person. Ashlish, pnei aryeh, varvi, pnei nesher. And the other faces were the same that we mentioned before, a lion, an eagle, and a person. So we have in one place a shar as being the fourth image, and the other place is a kruv. A kruv is a young child. So what's exactly going on over here? The two psukim seem to be a stira. In the second pasuk, it says a kruv instead of a shar. First pasuk had a shar instead of a kruv. What's going on? So I'm Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, not a problem. Yechezkel, be keshel of Rachman. When Yechezkel saw this in the first place, he saw a shar there, and it was very scary. And he dived into HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove the shar and put in a kruv instead. He said, Ribono Shel Olam, Kategor Yasis Anegar, how can you have a shar over there? A shar is going to remind you constantly of the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel is going to bring you to prosecute the Jewish people. The Jewish people are going to have a kategor there. So you, on your Markova, are going to have something prosecuting the Jewish people. That's not right. How could the prosecutor be our defense attorney? He'd be in a Sanegar. And therefore, please switch around the shore and turn it into a kruv. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay. What exactly is a kruv? My kruv? So I'm Rabbi Avo, kiravya. Kiruv means kiruv, like a child. Ravya. Shekem Bavavo, Karin Liyanuka, ravya. Because the child in Babel is known as a ravya. That's why we have the kruvim, kiruvim. They're like a young boy and a young girl. That's the kruvim in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. Wait a second. Based upon what you're saying, the chsiv, the pasuk says, pnei echa, pnei akruv, pnei asheni, pnei adam, vashlich, pnei aryeh, ravi, pnei nesher. So then, wait a second. Hainu pnei kruv, hainu pnei adam. Then two of the faces are the same. If you're telling me that a kruv means a human being, so now two of the faces are human beings, you replace the shor with another human being? So one says, no, they're different human beings. One's an adult, one is a child. Ape ravrave, ape zutre. One is the adult face, and one is the face of a child. Furthermore, Kotzav Echad Omer, the pasuk tells us, shnei shkufayim liyachad, that the angels had six wings. There were three parts of the body, the head part of the body, the middle part of the body, and the leg part of the body, and the wings covered up those areas of the body. So one pasuk says they had six wings. Because of Echad Omer, a different pasuk, however, tells us the arba ponim leechos, the arba kinofayim liachas lam, that each of the four faces, so these angels, they only had four wings. So it's a stira. One says six wings, one says four wings. So Tosus points out, they're talking about different creatures. When one description is talking about the chayos, and the other one's talking about the srafim. So maybe that's the answer. One is talking about Chayos, one is talking about Sofim, one has six, one has four. So Tosu says that can't be it. They all have the same number of wings, and therefore that can't be the simple reconciliation. So what is the reconciliation? Lokasha, the Gemara tells us, not a steer over here. The answer is, that the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so then all the Chayos, all the Sofim, all the creatures have six wings. They're in their full glory. But Nebuch, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that glory is diminished, and they only have four wings. There's a famous Medrash that tells us that there was originally the words Baruch Shem Kvo Machusol Yom Va'ed, and then that was diminished to leaving out the middle part of the Pasuk, something the end part of the Pasuk, but that was when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world is diminished. And then, Be'ezus Hashem, Be'mos HaMashiach, will be restored to have Baruch Shem Kvo Machusol Yom Va'ed, and the wings of the creatures, as well as this pasuk, will be restored to its full glory. So again, the Gemara tells us the difference is kam zman shebeis midrashkayim, kam zman she'ein beis midrashkayim, and it's as if kaviyachol shenismatu kam v'yachayos, that the wings of the chayos were reduced from 6 to 4. That's a diminution kaviyachol in Hakadosh Baruch Hu's covered on this world. Now the Gemara says, hey minayu imaut, which one of the wings? I told you there were three groups of wings. You had the wings that cover up the head part of the body, the wings that cover up the middle part of the body, the wings that cover up the feet. So which of the wings were diminished? Which pair of wings was diminished that went from 6 to 4? So Rav Chanan, Olam HaRav, Rav Chanan tells the name of Rav, Oson Sha'omro Shira Behem. Those are the ones that you say Shira with, which would mean the ones that are the wings that are saying Shira. It says over here in Yeshaya, Uvishtayim Yofev, the Korazel Zeviyamar, with two of the wings that would fly, and those two wings would call out, Kadosh, 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 the famous words that we say in the davening that the Melochim said to each other. And these are the middle wings. And it says, Uksiv, it says in Mishle, Hasoif Einecha Bo Ve'einenu. You look at it, and it will be gone. In other words, we use this Loshon Yofev and Hasoif to teach us that those wings were no longer there. That's the opinion of Rechanan Omarav. The Chachamim disagree. Rabban and Amre, they say no. Oso shebachasos bemeragleim. The wings are covered up the legs. Those are the ones that were reduced from the 6 to 4. Shenamai. Because the pasuk says, Ragleim rego yishar. That the angels have a straight leg. That's one of the reasons why when we stand Shuan Esrei, we stand straight with our feet together, like we're the angels. They have, their legs are considered ragleim rego yishar, like one single leg. So therefore, we emulate the angels. We say Shuan Esrei in that fashion. V'ilav di'imayit mino haviyada. Now, the drasha that the Rabbanim say is, since they have a regular yeshara, how would you know that? It must be that those wings that were normally covering them up were removed. The Gemara says, really? Is that so? Maybe dilmo di'egloi v'chazulei. No, sometimes the legs are visible, sometimes the legs are not. The wings move about, and that's why you can see them, because otherwise, if you don't give that answer, dilo te'mo hachi, then you have a problem. It says, udmus pneim pnei adam. It says that their image of their face, their appearance of their faces was like that of the appearance of a human being. So how would that be known? Are you telling me that those wings were removed as well? We only know we went from 6 to 4. We didn't go from 6 to 2. Ella, mustn't it be diglai v'chazulei? It must be that the wings sometimes move and you're able to see the face. So too by the legs. Hachanami diglai v'chazulei, that the wings sometimes move and you're able to see that it was a regular yeshara, and therefore there's no raya here to the feet, and therefore the teretz of Rav Chanan al Amarab, that it was the middle wings, is correct. Mor says, no, who says? Hachi hashta? Bishloma ape, the face, orach ari legaluye kamei rabe. It's appropriate that the face should sometimes be revealed. So if those wings move, you can see the face. That would be appropriate that we can see that the face was like the face of an Adam. However, the legs, kare, to uncover the feet, lav arach ara, it's not appropriate, it's not normal behavior, legaluye kamei rabe, that they should, legs should never be revealed. Those legs would always be covered up. So from the fact that the legs were now able to be seen, that they're a regular yeshara, that opinion of the Rabbanan is that those were the wings that were removed. Now the Gemara says, Kos of Echad Omer, we have a pasuk in Daniel that tells us, Elef alfin yishamshune viribo revivon kodamaoi yikumun. So it tells us how many angels were around the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So first it tells that there were Elef alfin, 1,000 thousands that serve HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and then there are ribo revivon, tens of thousands that are in front of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Now, that's the pasuk in Daniel. Because of Echad Omer, but we have a pasuk in Iyov that tells us that you can't count the number of malachim that are around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hayesh mispar l'gedudav, can you possibly count the angels that surround HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, there seems to be a stira. In Iyov says it's an infinite number, and in Daniel it says a very large number, but still a finite number. So what says, not a problem, Lokasha. It all depends. Same terrace like before with the 6 wings and the 4 wings. Kam bisman she'besim idrishkayim, and kam bisman she'ein besim idrishkayim, kaviyochol shinismato pamayu shomala. Kaviyochol, it's that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed, he also allowed his covered on this world to, so to say, be diminished. And that's why it went from 6 wings to 4 wings, and that's why it went from an infinite number of servants to having only the tens of thousands in front of him, and the thousands of thousands that were actually being Masharis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alternatively, Tanya, we learn the following braisa. Rabbi Yomer Mishum Abba Yossi ben Dusoy. Rabbi gave us the following teretz in the name of Abba Yossi ben Dusoy. Again, Mishum means he didn't hear from it directly, heard it through the generations. And he said the words in Daniel, Elef Alfin Yishamshune. What's that a reference to? That's Mispar Gidud Echad. That's just one group of those that were serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There was one garrison that served the Kodesh Baruch Hu, one Gidud. And then when we said in Eo that his Gedudim, the garrisons that serve him, that doesn't have a mispar, right? So the Daniel pasuk tells us how many malachim were in each gedud, and in Iyov it tells us, and there is an infinite number of gedudim. That's teretz number two. Teretz number three, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar, he says the following is the way to reconcile the two psukim. Elif alfin yisham shune, when it said in Daniel that there are thousands that serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's l'nahar dinor. That's referring to the angels that are in this idea called Nahar Dinor, a certain river of Dinor, which is a certain phenomenon around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shinemar, as the pasuk says, this is the beginning of that pasuk, it says, Nahar Dinor, Nogade the Nofek Min Kadamoy, that this river of Dinor flows from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nofek Min Kadamoy, it flows from in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elef Alfin Yisham Shune, the Riba Rivivon Kadamoy Yukumon. So that's what it's referring to, that this specific area has this many malachim, but in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk Neo says there's no number that we can describe all those. This is only one specific area. Now, what exactly is this Nahar Dino? Where is it going from? How does it arrive? So the Gemara says, Mizeyos and Shochayos. It comes from the sweat of the Chayos, whatever that exactly means. Lehechon Shafik, and where does it flow to? It flows, starts from the Zeyos and Shalachayos, and where does it go to? So Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, or Zutra Bar Tuvia says the name of Rav, Al Rosh Rishoyim Begehenim. This river of Dinor goes and flows all the way unto the heads of the Rishoyim that are in Gehenim. Shinema, as the Pasuk says, it's a Pasuk from Yirmiyahu, where it tells us, Hinei Saras Hashem, this storm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chema Yotza Besara Mischolel Al Rosh Rishoyim Yochul, that this fiery flow of the angels goes, and it goes and lands on the head of the Rishoyim in Gehenna. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, Alasher Kumto, it goes on those that are Kumto. Rashi tells us, Kumto Liboros, Nigzrul Hiboros, it goes on those that are destined to be born, and the Pasuk says, this is a Pasuk from Iyov, Shenemar, Asher Kumtu Veloes, those that were designated to be born, but haven't yet been born, Nar Yutzak, you saw them, this river will go and sweep them away. Tosus points out that this Zeyos and Shochayos, this sweat of the Chayos, is that it comes off of these Chayos and it turns into Malachim. They say Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then they go in this flow and go on the heads of the Rishayim and Gehenim, or as we just said, they go on the Kumto Velo Ace. Tosus also said that there are those that they're created and then they flow out, and there are those that stay there all the time that are more, quote, permanent, malachim kivuin va'omdim la'at. Again, esoteric ideas that we can't fully understand. Now, the Gemara says, the Braisa, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Hechosid, Rishon Hechosid said, Elu, Tshaneyos, Yeshivim, V'arba Doros, Shekumtu Liboros. Who are these that were described a moment ago as Asher Kumtu V'lola Ace, that they were destined to be created, designated to be created, but they weren't created? This is a reference to the 974 Doros generations that were supposed to be brought into this world before Matan Torah. In fact, we only have 26. We allude to this idea in the famous kapitel of what we call Halal HaGadol, which says, Hodol Hashem Kitov Kilion Chasov, that there are 26 kapitlach over there. This is an allusion to the 26 generations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world before Matan Torah. He saw that the world couldn't stand without the Torah being brought. So there were 974 other generations that were supposed to be made. So what happened to them? So that's this Nahar Dinor went on their heads, and it was Nahar Yutzak Yisod them, and it swept them away. So we turn to Yudal and Aleph. These were all supposed to be created. Kodem Shnivra Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated these to be created. Lo Nivru, but they weren't actually made. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ushisolam B'chodor V'dor, the Hain Hain Azeponim Shibador. So what happened to all these souls? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to have them as separate generations, but instead he sprinkled them into each generation. And those people, since they were in their inappropriate time and place, so they were the ones that ended up being the Azeponim, the Chutzpahdik people that are found in every generation. They come from those 974 generations that were supposed to be in the world before Matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, brought them forward quickly, more quickly than they would have been otherwise. And those are the Chutzpahdik people, Hain Hain Azeponim Shebidor. That's one interpretation. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, he says, the Asher Kumtu, what is that referring to? That's actually a positive thing. Levracha hu dechsev. That's a positive thing. They were supposed to be cut down, and they weren't. Dechsev, the Pasuk says, Elu tamidei chachamim, shemekamtin atzmon al divrei Torah b'olam hazeh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu megal alem so d'olam haba, that they were supposed to be cut down in this world. In other words, they cut themselves down. In other words, they didn't take all the pleasures in this world, and instead they spent their time learning Torah, which of course is the greatest pleasure. If only people realized how wonderful Torah is, they would spend all their time learning Torah. In any event, the people over here, the Talmid HaChamim, that are mekantin atzmam, they cut themselves down, so to say, for divrei Torah in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards them, and he gives them the sod, all the secrets of the Torah in the world to come, shenemar, as the pasuk says. That's what Nar Yitzchak Yisodam, that they will be over here revealing all the secrets. That's the Yisodam, is here referring to the secrets, like a Nar Yitzchak, like a flowing river. It's a good break point to stop over here. With this, we conclude today's share.